This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you by Lightstream, the nation's premier online consumer lender. Lightstream offers low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. I am so grateful to them for making this show a possibility. I really am. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Tiff and Carissa.
Hey.
Tiff and Carissa are back all the way from season freaking two, y'all. This is season 11, so it's been a minute. They're back to kind of give us an update on where they are and to help me introduce our interview of today. And it's a good interview, but we'll get into that. For all of y'all who don't remember or haven't listened to Tiff and Carissa's episodes, I should say. And if you haven't, what's wrong with you? Go back and listen, please, season two. But they reached out to us because they were having a conundrum with which donor to choose because they're an interracial couple and they weren't sure where to go. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's why you reached out in the first place, right? Because we went, because then we had like updates and Tiff and Carissa, and then there was a theme song for you and you were like dropping into episodes. Like we went all out. Oh my God.
I forgot about the theme song.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby. That was
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Wow.
I do think that was the initial reason. Yeah. That, and there was a lack of queer interracial comment and people talking about trying to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, hey, we can't find anybody, any families mm-hmm. that look like us talking about making families. Like, do you all have any, like, I think we asked you, if you guys have an episode with like an interracial couple, because like, we'd love to hear it.
And we were like, come on in. good idea. Why don't you come on in and talk to us? And that's how this beautiful relationship began. Right.
Yeah. And it's wild too, because we are literally to do like a weird like snapshot of our life. But when we first recorded with you, we were living in Detroit in this beautiful apartment. And we loved it. We loved it so much. And the pandemic hit like right after we found out we were pregnant. Right. And then we moved to DC and Maryland, where we have literally been for the past 3 years up until last month when we moved back into the same exact apartment that we were in previously in Detroit. Wow. So we are literally after like going Midwest, East Coast, Midwest. We are back in the exact same apartment that we recorded our initial episode with you in.
Holy shit. Full circle. Full circle.
The TLDR is this. The wisdom is this. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You came back. Oh my God. Okay. So you're back home. Yeah. You've made it back home. The prodigal children have returned with a baby.
With
this
an additional child.
So, all right. So wait, let's talk. Wait. So you have a baby. So, okay. Mm-hmm. The whole time we were talking to you throughout the entire season, you had gone through so many. It was shenanigans to find a donor. I mean, you went down so many roads and paths.
Yeah.
It was fascinating and eye-opening to hear. Like, let's just, like, in a nutshell, what happened? Like, because the guests that we're introducing today, they used a known donor. They used a nephew, which brings with it all different complications. And I'm thinking, in all of your paths, was a known donor ever one of them? I don't think so, right?
We talked about it for like a second because I have two brothers and we were like, you know, well, maybe because then there'd be a genetic link from both of us. And then it was never even so much of a serious, like we never even went to them. Like we never brought it up to them.
It admittedly at the time, and to some extent, I guess I have a softness for that past me, but it kind of creeps me out a little bit, admittedly.
Right. I get it. I get it.
It really did.
It's not because for everyone. I think,
I'm telling you, because I think I was just watching too much Handmaid's Tale.
Oh.
And I was very concerned about the fact that, like, you know, if
they would have
if stuff goes left, right.
Because that's what makes it more complicated, because the family can get involved.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's what makes it more complicated. Yes. So you have to have everything figured out and buttoned up ahead of time.
Yeah. We did have, for a second, we tried a known donor that was a friend of yours.
That's true.
Oh, you did.
Not family.
Not related, but though. That's a known donor. Oh, so you did go down. See, I told you went down like every path. Like,
we jumped around, right?
We did.
Our first ever attempt was from a bank.
Yep.
And then we tried a different bank. And then we tried our known donor.
Yep.
And then we went through a different bank through a fertility clinic.
Right.
Yep. And that was what we ended up going with.
That's the one that worked.
Ended up clicking.
But there was a Facebook donor as well, wasn't there?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The free donor.
Oh, yeah. Group. We did. We met with that person in like a diner.
I think so. Out in the boonies somewhere.
Weird.
Yes, I remember this.
Like, why are you taking me out here?
So for all of you listeners who are not familiar, which if you listen to this show, I think you're familiar with these Facebook groups by now because we talk about it all the time. There are Facebook groups for sperm donors just to, they show up, they say, I am willing to be a donor and we can make a deal.
And honestly, I now more than I think ever before understand why these groups are so important and it's worth the risk, because if you are a Black person hoping to find a donor who looks like you or even is just melanated, your options are super limited if you're trying to go through the banks.
Yes agreed. Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on this, Tiffany, because you talked a lot about it in your episode and in all your updates, just the privilege involved in queer baby making and, you know, the discrepancies that are there between Black and white folks. So,
For sure. Especially because when we looked, I think it's gotten a little bit better, but when we were looking the hardest and the most, I mean, it was really the only Black donors you could find were very fair-skinned. They did not look like what they weren't like me. I'm brown. Brown. Mm-hmm. I've got African features. Yeah. Like
they at least had a white grandparent
at minimum.
Like they really? Literally listed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Minimum one.
And the bank that we fully ended up going through, I think at the time that we went through them, and probably still now, I haven't checked, they had maybe 3 or 4 Black donors.
Mm-hmm. But then it becomes hundreds. Even more limited.
Yeah.
It gets more limited based on the type of donor that you need in terms of the type of sperm that you need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because the baby batter is prepared in very different ways.
I like the baby batter. I think... Are y'all the folks that taught me baby danced? Was that you?
It probably was us. Yeah.
But we can't baby dance. We're queer. We can't baby dance.
Yeah, for sure. You can't baby dance. Just I say that all the time. It's a horizontal mambo, if you will.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. But right. Anyway, okay. So you ended up, wait. So, and there was also the issue of, okay, what are we going to, get a Black donor or a white donor? You decided on a Black donor in the end?
We decided on a white donor.
Oh.
We decided on whoever was going to get me pregnant.
Because it took a while.
No, we did. But we didn't actually ever try with a Black donor.
We did too. No, the first one that we mail ordered.
There was white.
Okay, I have amnesia.
Selective amnesia.
But that's the thing. When you're in the journey, every single detail means so much. When you're out of the journey and it's in the past, forget so much. Like it's so much far in the past.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Our ultimate decision was we wanted to try and get a baby that when they popped out looked like they might have come out of either of us.
That's true.
Because we thought that not just like optics in the way we think of optics, but optics in the terms of like safety.
Yeah.
Correct.
We wanted a baby that literally looked like maybe they came out of either of us. Right, so maybe we wouldn't be as challenged.
And it did turn out to work.
It worked way better than we thought it was going to work.
But also,
the child looks like me sometimes.
Aww. But also thank God for it. Because do you want to tell her about when we tried to take that cruise?
What happened? Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We went on a cruise that was leading out of Florida. So we were down there and we had to have, you know, the baby's birth certificate because they didn't have like a passport or anything yet. And this older white dude was questioning, well, who's mom? And I was like, well, we're both mom. And like, literally, like, we're both on the birth certificate. Like, we're both mom. And he was like, I see what you all, what did he say? I see what y'all are trying to do.
That's what he said.
I see what y'all are trying to do, but I need to know which one of you is like actually mom, like who has the same last name, which was like ridiculous. He ended up putting me down as real mom because me and the baby share the same last name and Tiff hasn't changed their name yet.
Right.
Oh,
but it was like, but we like literally like told him that Tiff birthed the baby.
I was like, you want to see my stretch marks? I'm like real mom too.
You see my stretched out nipples?
Like, thank you.
I was like, how are you going on last name anyway? Because plenty of people who birthed their own children in heterosexual relationships don't have the same last name as their child.
Really? They don't.
So like what? He was literally, he just wanted to like fuck with us.
Yeah.
Wow. We would have been fucked because our kids have a hyphenated name. We don't share the same name. Like, I mean, we kind of halfway do.
This is what I mean, though, when I say like it's this roundabout racism. It's this roundabout homophobia. It's this roundabout. Yeah. And I promise you, if you went and found that guy right now and asked him, he would say he did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
He would say like, I was just making sure that this kid. But even so, I promise you, if our baby looked as melanated as me, he would have just clocked. Oh, yep. This is. Yeah. You're the real mom and you're not. And,
you're just the
and then that would have been that.
Yeah.
But because she's.
And if our baby was more fair, like you.
Yeah.
He would have been like, oh, you're the real mom. We're done. Da, da, da. Like, you know what I mean? So like having
hasn't worked in our
a medium frown.
You worked so hard to make sure everything was safe and good. And then there, the one
still
aspect. Oh, my God. This is the issue. This is the problem. This is why we need podcasts like this and we need our stories out there.
Yeah.
That man should be forced to listen to this episode.
Absolutely.
And all of the episodes.
Really, the lesson is this, because I was so meticulous and I was so particular. I was like, we have to have this document, this paperwork, we have this, we have da, 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 da. We never go anywhere without her birth certificate. We don't do the, like, we are very, very, very careful because in my mind, I was like, we have to use every single thing that we have, every single legal protection that we have in order to protect us as parents. But it doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, the society is who actually makes sure that whatever laws that are there are even enforced. Because that could have been a really, really far more traumatic experience, both for our baby and for us. And it was my mom's first time really seeing that happen like that. And this was the start of our first like family vacation. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the laws do matter. They're helpful, but they're not everything. At a certain point, people need to get behind us. They have to do it. Because somebody could have stepped in and done something. Somebody could have done it.
Okay. We have to introduce the interviewer. Because I think that, well, we already talked about like the known donor thing and how that kind of complicates things. They're also an interracial couple. And they talk a bit about that, which is fun. It's a great conversation. And I have to just tell everybody up front, the sound is not... is not the best. So you have to bear with it because we're having technical difficulties over here at the Queer Family Podcast. And with all the different guests that I'm bringing in, sometimes we don't have a mic. Sometimes we don't have a headphones. Sometimes, like this interview today, we have a baby crying.
In this economy, I'd be crying too through the whole thing. Okay?
So they had their beautiful baby with them and she was kind of in and out. It's kind of hilarious and cute because she was adorable. But she's making, and then she was like blowing raspberries for like 10 minutes. So that's in there too. So enjoy that, everyone. It's a wonderful, wonderful episode. Their names are Janelle and Ashley. And I'm excited for you guys to hear it. And I'm excited for all of the listeners to hear it. And I have to tell you one more thing. I forgot. I'm looking for interns. So if you want to join the Queer Family Podcast team, I am looking to make a team of interns. It's time. I cannot do all this on my own anymore. I am burnt out. So send me
an email. For you, Jamie.
Thank you. Send me an email at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. It's a long name, but you can just type it. You're fine. You're good with typing. It's all good. Anything else you want to add before we roll this tape? Helen and Beulah roll the tape.
I would just like to say that I'm so, so proud of you, Jamie, and I'm very, very thrilled to see where this podcast has gone and how much it's grown. And it was really, really helpful for us at a time in our lives that felt very scary and nerve-wracking. We had no idea what was coming in, but at the time we were getting a lot of messages that said no to your family, no to your love, no to this like manifestation of your relationship that against what just seemed like all odds, we were able to make it happen. And it's been a dream come true. Little Movie is the best thing that ever happened to us. So take that, everybody was take like, that. Nah. But also it was just really helpful to have y'all in our corner and to see what our future could look like. It's really, really, it was really helpful and it was really necessary.
Oh, make me cry over here. Thank you. I'm doing my best. I'm going to keep it going as long as I can because we're here, we're queer, and we're not going anywhere. And these stories need to be fucking told. Let's be real.
Correct.
Helen and Beulah are dying to roll the tape. They love you too.
Yeah.
They're thanking you profusely for coming in and doing this intro with me. And I love you so much. Thank you. And you're coming back. Definitely coming back.
Yes.
All right. We love you too.
Thank you. Love to come
back. Helen and Beulah, roll that tape.
Queer Family Podcast.
Wait, Helen, stop. Before you roll that tape, I need to mention one thing. I have to mention Patreon. If you all like this show and you want to keep hearing these super important LGBTQIA+ family stories, you can help. You can join my Patreon community. I've got various tiers on the page starting at just $2 a month. You're going to do a good thing, and you're going to get bonus content like videos of most episodes dropped a day early, crazy behind-the-scenes shenanigans of yours truly trying to get it together, and anything else I can think of to keep you all entertained and engaged. You're just going to head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to join. And a huge, 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 huge thank you to all you Patreons who are already supporting this show. It means the world to me. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Helen and Beulah, please roll that tape.
The Queer Family Podcast.
Hi, I have Ashley and Janelle here. Hello.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to talk to you. It's amazing because y'all live so close to where my wife grew up.
Neighbors. Mm-hmm. We're neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. So next time I'm in Queens Village, I'm going to come knock on your door and bring a pie or something or some drinks.
Why did I say pie? We can go to Gabby's. We can get pizza.
Okay. I don't even know Gabby's. Look, you can teach me the neighborhood. So, all right, before we get into your whole story, why don't you two give us the elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here? And don't worry, you have 30 seconds and I'm going to put a timer up, but don't worry your pretty heads off because I will never, ever, ever, ever cut you off. I will let you go and go and go. This is just fun. So don't get nervous. It's 30 seconds. You have the time and you know who you are. All right. On your marks. Get set.
You go.
Go.
I'm going. Okay. So we are the Majors. That's our last name. So we're the Majors. We are an interracial lesbian couple. We both identify as cisgender females. We recently had a daughter. She's 5 months old. Her name is Araya. And we also have our own, we started our own brand called Major Motivation because we're both trainers as well as teachers. So
that's 30 seconds.
That's our brand and that's our business.
You know what?
That's it. That's us.
Are you on media trained? Because that was amazing. You got it all in.
Thanks. And that was not
rehearsed.
Practice no. or nothing. No.
No. Good job. So, nice work.
Thanks.
So before we dig deep into the whole story, I just have to let everyone know they have a wonderful baby because the baby is literally there just hanging out.
She's in her room.
That would have never happened with either one of my kids. So that's beautiful. But if we hear baby, that's baby. That's Araya. Just making her voice known.
Yes.
And then we have a neighbor upstairs vacuuming.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Hopefully she'll be done soon.
Yeah. Because you can't make this shit up. All right. So let's take it all the way back to when the two of you met. Let's take it back to the beginning.
The beginning. Well, we both grew up in Long Island. So we actually both went to the same high school.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Just
11 years apart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we have an age gap here. So although no one ever knows.
I don't know who's older. I really don't. I can't tell.
Look at that. Exactly. Look at that. You know, I don't really know how to feel about that. You know, it's a compliment to her, but I'm not really sure when people say that. I'm like, you can't tell? No, we get that a lot. But I was dating somebody at the time that we met. I was actually dating a man and we went to high school together.
We forgive you for that.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
You know, can you blame me? Because, you know, these females out here sometimes are a little cray.
Can be difficult. It's true.
He was actually friends with her nephew.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So she has older siblings. Uh-huh. So their kids I went to high school with.
Her then boyfriend had hit me up to try to get her a job.
Mm.
Long story short, my ex ended up getting a job in Seattle.
Oh.
We were going to go and I just freaked out. Mm-hmm. And then I met her and talking to her and I was like, I just missed that connection with the LGBTQ community and feeling of, you know, a same-sex partner. And, you know, so there was just a lot of like mixed emotions going on. So long story short, I went to Seattle for 2 days and then came back.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
But before you went away to Seattle for the 2 days, did y'all hook up at all? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I think you just gave me my answer.
I mean, we really spent the whole summer together, really. Mm-hmm. We just found ourselves kind of just planning and like seeing each other. It was, you know how lesbians are.
I do. I very much do.
But yeah, there might have been a little kiss here and there.
Maybe a little bit, just a little bit, right? Just, you know, as we do, as you do. You know. So then what happens? How does it propel forward? How do we get to the next step?
So she came back from Seattle. I got her a job at a school that was close to us because at that time, my school said they weren't hiring. Mm-hmm. She at the time was still living in Long Island at her mom's house. Mm-hmm. I, of course, live in Queens. So it was just more convenient for her to go from here to work.
Obviously.
Right. So she was here most of the time. So I mean, I guess we U-hauled it real fast.
Yeah, I was going to say it, but I thought you U-hauled it, as we do.
That lasted about a couple months of commuting. And I'm like, so, like, are we going to make this official? Like, what's going on here? So mm-hmm. I think one day we were out and I was like, what are you going to ask me to move in with you? No, I think I introduced myself as your girlfriend. Oh, yeah, she sure did. Uh-oh. She sure did. Listen, if you want something done, just do it yourself.
There
right?
you go. That's the name of this episode. You know,
I could be shy a little bit, but sometimes I'm like, hey.
This is my, listen. You knew what you wanted. You had already U-hauled. It's a done deal. It's right. done. This is lesbian right. words. This is right. lesbian life here.
Exactly. oh, by the way, let's talk about how I said I was never going to get married.
Uh-oh.
And I was never having a kid.
There it is. There it
is. I was like, this is never going to work. Because let me guess, you want a kid and you want to get married. And I'm not doing
and you
any
said
of
you
that.
Never wanted to be with another teacher.
Yes. And I never wanted to be another teacher because who wants to be off when their significant others are off? Maybe I want my own time.
She does. She wants to be off when I'm off.
Oh, miss, if I take a day, you take a day.
Yes.
Uh-oh. But yes, listen, absolutely. when the baby's in school, it'll be helpful because you'll all be off at the same time.
Yeah.
I'll say that absolutely. Much. But Janelle, I want to know, when you say you didn't want to ever get married and you didn't want to ever get kids, why? Why do you think that is?
I probably wasn't with the right person.
Okay.
To me, I just think that people get married for all the wrong. I don't. If I'm with someone, I'm the type of person that if I'm with someone, I don't need to be a piece of paper or anything to put a like.
She's a loyal person.
I'm very loyal.
Yeah.
I see so many people that are married that are miserable. Mm-hmm. And cheating all mm-hmm. the time. Mm. So what's the point of getting married? If I say I'm with you and you're my girlfriend or you're my fiance, to me, it's no different than being married.
Right. I feel you.
I don't need a piece of paper to tell me that that's right. who I want to be.
And what about with the baby thing? Like, because a lot of times, like a theme that comes up a lot of times with couples on this show is like, one person in the couple will say, I never wanted kids. I never really thought about kids because like for me, it was never really an option in my head. But is that what the case was for you? Or it was just kind of like,
no, I just didn't want kids. Like it's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication. And yeah. I feel like there's so many people that are having kids that should have my mentality and not want to have kids because they have kids and then don't want to raise the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a 24-hour, seven day a week job. It's not, oh, you can be a mom or you can be a dad when you want to.
No.
So, and it's expensive also.
It sure is.
So,
sure is.
You know what? I don't know. The last relationship I was in, my significant other had a kid.
Oh.
So I raised her from fifth grade to 11th grade. So,
oh, wow.
Did raise a kid.
Yeah, you did.
Love is love.
All right, folks. How are those New Year's resolutions going for you? Are you drinking less? Are you going to bed earlier? Are you waking up earlier? Okay, those are my very loose resolutions, and that is exactly how they're going, very loosely. So I'm sorry, I can't help you with any of those kinds of resolutions. Not my thing. But you know what I can help you with? I can help you pay off any credit card debt you have with a low fixed rate loan from Lightstream. If your resolution is to reduce your credit card debt, one way to get ahead is by consolidating that debt and paying a low fixed rate loan instead. Lightstream makes the process simple. A credit card consolidation loan from LightStream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with autopay and excellent credit. Plus, this is good. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. Great. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, which is great as well. So if you're saving for queer baby making or second parent adoption or anything else, LightStream is here for you. And just for the Queer Family Podcast listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT. That's LightStream.com/OCT. Disclaimer, subject to credit approval. Rates range from 7.99% APR to 23.99% APR and include a 0.5% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more info. Go do it.
Queer Family Podcast.
So, didn't want married, didn't want kids, but it ended up happening, obviously.
I just started seeing that she was kind of talking about kids more in like a, okay, well, what if? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, would you? And then we just kind of went from there and we spoke about it and it was something that we ended up both wanting. And now we have this little one.
I love it. So did you end up getting married too? Or you're not married?
Yes, we are married. So she actually proposed like right before the shutdown. She proposed and we were like, that's her favorite thing.
Right? The baby is blowing raspberries, right? Oh my God.
Where did you learn this from?
Oh my God. This is parent life. This is parent life, yeah? Right here. Oh my God.
June of 2021, we got married.
And then, like, Janelle, you've come around to baby. You've come around to the idea of a baby. So then how do y'all go about creating your family?
Actually, my sister's son, everybody always thinks that we look, every time we go out and we have a, like I said, they're close in age. I'm closer in age to my nieces and nephews than my brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They always think we are brother and sister. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why don't we ask him? The worst he could do is say no.
Right.
At first he was like, I don't know. Cause he has no kids. He doesn't have any kids yet.
Okay.
And you know, it's understandable. I feel like that's like, you know, a big question to ask, you know, especially if, you know, you're going to see that child often enough, you know? So, you know, it was understandable to have some reservations. So we talked about it and threw around the idea a lot, but when it was like time to really, we were like, okay, you know, let's have this summer after our wedding. And then, you know, come September, we'll start trying. I was like, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, he'll back out or, you know, you never know until it's like, all right, let's try and do this. But he was all for it. And I said, you know, it would be nice if we had somebody and someone that was willing to, you know, donate their sperm, like it would be some of her biological blood, you know? So
it's like the best, it's the best case scenario.
Right. So, which we do see a lot of her family in her. So
it worked. So it really happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hold on. We've talked to a lot of folks who've used like a brother or a relative, but like, were you scared to initially ask him?
Yeah, no, I mean, at first, but then I was like, I mean, the worst he could do is say no. And my niece, who I'm very close with, his sister was like, I was like, what do you think about it? She's like, I think he'll definitely do it. I was like, all right, so we'll ask him.
Wow. So time came. So wait, did you go to a fertility clinic? How'd you do this?
So I was like, let me try to do it with the least amount of doctors possible. Mm-hmm. I don't like needles and shots and stuff like that. So I'm giving blood. So, which I mean, I had to do, you know, here and there anyway, but, I said, if we can just do this at home, let's try it out a couple times. You know, if we're lucky, we're lucky. You know, I was lucky enough, like I wasn't super crazy about tracking and, you know, my ovulation and stuff like that. Like So I just did it on one of my apps and I said, okay, I'm ovulating here and I'm going to be most fertile this day. So let's have him come over.
And I went and got the turkey baster.
We got the Mosey kit.
That's how we call it on this show lovingly anyway, the turkey baster method.
Yes.
Even though we don't use a turkey baster anymore.
Right.
Yeah. You use the Mosey baby kit?
Yeah. So we used that and we tried it. I think we inseminated in September. So I ended up getting pregnant. But it was not
viable.
Yeah, a viable pregnancy.
Wow.
And then we tried again in December, but I got, you know, it worked. So we were like, okay, there's hope. So
there's hope, right?
Let's give it, you know, maybe one more try. Let's try it again.
Because when she went and it didn't, like, at first it was two eggs, right? Or two. So what
if sacks?
Two sacks. So they weren't. There was no fetal pole in them. So they're like, all right, come back. Let's see. You know, they might not be viable.
So so you went to the doctor to test and there was something there, but there was like no heartbeat.
Yeah. There was no, it's called a fetal pole. There was nothing in the sac.
This is new for me. I haven't heard this one. Okay. Yeah. So not a viable.
So it's pregnancy. It's before like you even hear a heartbeat, there needs to be a fetal pole in the sacs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you?
It was hard. I feel like because, I mean, are we going how you want to?
Yeah.
We were going through a rough time in our marriage in general. So it was a lot of, there was a lot of emotions going on. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. So we weren't okay. And then this happened. And I feel like, you know, it definitely took a toll on us. I feel like I wasn't really able to like think about like what was going on because like we were so like not in a good spot. But we tried again afterwards. And we were in a better spot. We're in a better place. And that was like in the beginning, mid-December. And that ended up we waited a longer period of time to go to the doctor to try. Cause you know, we were like, let's just wait and be patient. And cause we went really early the last time. So we were like slowly seeing, you know, things progress, you know, we were week to week. We were seeing, okay, is it a good pregnancy? Is it not? They were having me come every week. And it was a lot.
The first one or the second?
The first time.
The first one you went like after 2 weeks.
Yeah. We took a pregnancy test. Yeah. And we're like, oh,
so it was right. A lot. Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. You see the positive test and then that shit happens. And then you're already going through what you're going through. I mean, shitty. Right. And so the second time you waited a little longer.
So I took an at-home test, like 3 weeks and I was like, let's wait 3 more weeks. So I'll be like 6 or 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then when we go, we'll be able to hear a heartbeat or not, if it's a good pregnancy or not. So we went in like mid-January and then we heard a heartbeat.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like probably like a month later, like January 15th or something like that.
And our doctor was like, this is crazy. You guys are going to put the fertility clinics out of business. I can't believe it. Because after the first time it wasn't viable, he's like, oh, maybe you should go see fertility. I'm like, wait a minute.
We tried
one time and she was pregnant.
Right.
So why would you say like, go see a fertility doctor already? Like, okay, we'll try. And then they said, don't try again for another 3 months. We literally waited for one period. And then the next time we tried it.
This is, you know what, you're bringing up a point that comes up a lot on this show. Like a lot of queer couples who go to the clinic to get pregnant, they have this frustration. They're treated like an infertile couple when they're not. Yeah, and they're treated a certain type of way because that's what the clinics are set up to cater to, is the people who are infertile. And we're not infertile. We just are missing a part, right? And then like when it doesn't work out, they make you wait this certain period of time and they have all these rules that don't necessarily pertain to us. Yep. Right.
And I was like, we were like, we're just going to do our own thing.
Because
it worked.
I did end up, they say, like, go through, like, get your regular period, like twice or three times or something. I got my period and I just waited for the next time. Where are you? I just waited for the next time that I was ovulating. And then I was like, let's just try again.
Because you know what? Because straight couples who try at home, they're not waiting. Right. They're
exactly. Still having That's what sex. Right.
And yeah. we should be allowed to have sex too.
Exactly.
Not that works, but you know what I mean. But yeah. So okay. So it worked. Yay! Exciting. Yeah. And yeah. How? And what was it like with your nephew? And did you get papers? Did you sign papers? Like, what is your agreement with your nephew?
We did not sign papers yet. We have to do the second parent adoption.
Yeah.
But you have to wait until after she's born. We have not done that yet, but we see him. He comes around, but he's in his own world. He's
cool with it.
Yeah, he's cool with it.
But did you have a conversation with him about what his role would be or what his role would not be? Like conversations around it?
It was actually harder for not him. I think my sister and you know, my niece, because he doesn't have any children yet.
Right.
So,
which is honestly something that I didn't even, I guess I thought about who she would be to her family, but not, I guess,
because the whole family they would really, involved.
Right. Right. So
the whole family's involved. And so you had to have conversations with the whole family about, now listen,
yes,
this is my child.
Yep.
And you're allowing the whole family to take part in her life, obviously.
Right.
But they have to acknowledge who she is to the two of you.
Right.
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 It's complicated. This shit's complicated. Right.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's like, although this part is complicated, I felt like, you know, when she gets older, I do like the fact that, you know, she's not going to, you know, because I feel like it's common for, like, I have a few people in my family who are adopted or, you know, or actually I have cousins that were born through IVF. My aunt is a single mother, you know,
sperm donor. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right. So, you know, I feel like that common question comes up, like, who's my father or, you know, who's, you know, the other, who's the donor?
Where's the DNA come from? Right. Like,
right. Yeah. So at least I feel like she will know that person.
You know? And so it was important for her to know the other half of her DNA.
Right.
And not only does she know the other half of, well, she knows the other half of her DNA because she's holding her right now as well.
Right.
Like you both share DNA with your baby, which is just freaking beautiful, which a lot of our families don't have.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like we are definitely lucky enough to be in this situation and actually have it work.
Yeah. But with it come other complications that you have to work through and talk through and, you know, and sometimes you got to get buttoned up legally and all the things just because you don't know what's in other folks' minds and hearts and you know, and that's the thing. But also in all the families that I talk to, like what it comes down to, especially with our queer families who come about in so many ways, is like a lot of us come to the conclusion that because we kind of have to, because we're kind of forced to, that you know what, the more the merrier. The more people my children or my child has in their lives who love them and will protect them, the better. But sometimes it's hard to come to that realization.
Right. And honestly, I think that using my nephew's sperm was actually it was good for my dad.
Oh,
like,
really?
I feel my dad is not very, he's very accepting. Old school. He's not very accepting. Like but he loves this little baby.
And he is blood related as well.
Right.
Which matters to some grandparents. So you're the first nephew donor I've spoken to in 200 episodes. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, wow.
So she's 5 months now. You're working on the second parent. You said you had to wait till she was born. Is that because your nephew was the donor. Is he? He's not on the birth certificate, is he?
No, no. But you have to wait. We have to wait till the birth. She's born because we need the birth certificate.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
But yeah, she was able to like instantly go, even though she wasn't the birth parent, go on her insurance, and you know she was able to be on the birth certificate, and they acknowledged her as the second parent, like. Immediately. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome. The lawyers that we've spoken to on the show just say, just make sure you get that second parent adoption just in case. Yeah. You just never know. Yeah. You just never know. It's better to have it all buttoned up legally. But
yeah,
it sounds like everything is just going beautifully.
Yeah, it's great. She's awesome.
Everything's so beautiful. And she's so easy that y'all launched your own business.
Yes, we've been talking about it since the shutdown, actually. So we're kind of just starting to like pick up with everything. So it's like, it's exciting. It's
yeah.
Exciting.
So what is the business?
So, well, you always have been
major motivation.
So that was her, as a brand in herself, mm-hmm. Because along with teachers, she was a personal trainer. I'm actually a personal trainer too. We're both trainers. So I came into it and we both have a love for fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd post videos of just us working out. And we were like, well, when we get married, we're both going to be major. So we could both be major motivation. So I was like, well, I love athletic clothes. Like I live in leggings, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. and I don't think I put on jeans the whole pandemic. Like no,
Still,
really, I
pants are think in the past 2 years, pandemic.
I think I wore a pair of jeans twice, I think.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I want to like make my own leggings. Like I want to try to make this an athletic brand. Like I want to be an athletic brand.
Yeah.
And we started off with some sweatshirts and stuff. And, you know, we're going to venture out into sets and joggers.
Can you see?
So I see that's I see it. Major motivation. Yes. I see it. Yes. That's very nice. Where can people find you? And where can people find
it's the major-motivation.com. Mm-hmm. TikTok, it's Major Mamas.
Uh-huh.
And Instagram, it's Major Motivation Merch.
Okay. So everybody go check it out. Support the queer makers.
Yes.
Not just baby makers, but clothing makers.
Yes. And thank you for giving us the platform to come and share our story.
These stories need to be told. They need to be told. There's not enough of our stories out there. Not by far, not enough. So I am really grateful to you for sharing your story, even with the baby blowing raspberries and y'all are champs. You made it through. We made it through. I had a jackhammer outside my window.
We made it.
The queer. Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did. What a good story. But the conversation is not over, folks. Be sure you're following the show on all the socials. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. You're going to get photos of all the guests there, some videos, and just, you know, all around fun from yours truly. Who doesn't want that? Don't miss out. You don't want FOMO. Nobody wants FOMO. And don't forget to join me on Patreon to help me create this super important queer content. You're going to head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to sign up and get that bonus content. And one more thing, if you love this show and want to represent your love for us and our beautiful families, you need to head to our shop and get some Queer Family Podcast merchandise. We've got so many designs and you can put these designs on any product in the store. We've got t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases. You're just going to go to tpublic.com and search for the Queer Family Podcast. Or you can find the shop on our website at thequeerfamilypodcast.com. There's so many ways. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Tune back in next week for another episode all about family, but with gay.
3 inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.